You are about to listen to a sermon which was recorded at Faith Wesleyan Church in Terre Haute, Indiana.
That's where we're going to start, but if you keep your Bibles open, we'll be flipping through different passages in the book of John today. Today's message is the third message in this series that I started a few weeks ago on the sayings of Jesus from the cross, the words that he spoke while he was on the cross. And 2 weeks ago, you'll remember we talked about those first words that came out of Jesus' mouth, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Last Sunday, we looked at the second saying when the criminal, the thief, looked to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom today." And Jesus answered him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And those are two wonderful, powerful passages of Scripture, two wonderful sayings, especially when you realize the context of from where Jesus was saying it. Today's third saying comes from the book of John. We've been looking in the book of Luke these past 2 weeks, but today we look from the book of John and what is commonly known as the third saying that Jesus said from the cross. If you've got your Bibles or if you want to follow along, it's John chapter 19, and I'm going to read verses 25 to 27. John 19, verses 25 to 27. And it says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Verse 26, "When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Now, on these sayings, while Jesus was on the cross, Jesus turns his attention to his mother. In the last moments of his life, he's also thinking of his mother. I want us to notice today that this particular saying comes from John, and we would commonly say that this disciple that isn't mentioned by name, that Jesus turned and spoke to and said, "Here is your mother," most of us would agree was the apostle John, the disciple John. And so from this, I believe it's a significant saying that John recalls these words of Jesus. I think it's significant for a number of reasons. I'm going to give them to you this morning with the Lord's help. And I'll confess to you right up front, two things I'm going to confess to you about this sermon. Number one, it took a long time to get this thing figured out, and you can let me know if I figured it out at the end. And secondly, I know where we're going, but I hope I can land this thing good. Anyway, this particular saying, this third saying from the cross, comes from John. There's three sayings that struck a chord in John's heart when Jesus was on the cross, because John records three separate sayings. Luke records three. Matthew and Mark each record one of the six sayings of Jesus on the cross. Mark and Matthew record the very same saying, and that's the saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, it's apparent to me that this statement from Jesus struck something deep in each and every one of these disciples. And as they recalled the crucifixion, I want us to remember a couple of things about the crucifixion. I believe there's different reasons that each of these disciples remembered or recorded what they recorded. It wasn't by happenstance. I remind you that Luke was not at the crucifixion. He was not one of the 12 disciples. His gospel was recorded, and he went around to eyewitnesses. And his gospel comes from that, and the teachings of Jesus that he recorded in the gospel of Luke come from that point of view. Now, what's interesting here is that Matthew and Mark both record this one saying that we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks. My God, why have you forsaken me? I want to remind you a couple of things about this that I think are important. It'll help us in this very thing. Nowhere in the Gospels, in any of the Gospels, is it recorded that any of the disciples were near the cross. Only this one here in verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. We see that. But in reality, that's the only mention, it's the only place it mentions that of any of the disciples being close at the crucifixion. Matter of fact, you may remember Mark chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus said this, speaking to his disciples, he said, "You will all fall away." As this time approaches, when the crucifixion is arrest, and all of the things that took place, and then this crucifixion, and all those things, the disciples had been scattered. And Jesus told them that they would be. And he said, "You will all fall away." So I think it's interesting that what each of these Gospels record, I guess that's what I'm trying to say this morning as I set this up. Jesus' words spoke specifically to Matthew and Mark in a certain way. And they had heard, maybe not because they heard, because they weren't close enough, but they had seen from a distance the words that they recorded. But it's only John that records this. And this is the only place that we find it. "Here is your mother." Now, what do you make of that? Jesus speaking to John. I think that Jesus here, even on the cross, as he comes to the very end of his life, is still thinking of things that were so incredibly important in his life. Principles and values that guided his life, the relationship that he had with the Father and the Father had with him, and the love that was related between the two of them, and how he taught and how he taught his disciples and all of those that would listen. And he taught of the kingdom of God and the very values of the kingdom of God. And he reminded these disciples, and I want to give you some verses of Scripture to help us see this, I think. I remind us of the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. And Jesus said there, he said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Even though he was God, even though he was highest and above all, even though he was worthy of all of the adoration that we could possibly give, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Now, I want to draw that into our, and I want you to mark that in your mind as we talk about this today. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to give his life. Jesus came to not receive, but to give. That's how Jesus lived his life. He gave. And he gave that example to his disciples as well, that they should have that very same kind of attitude. Matter of fact, a couple of verses before Mark 10:45 is verse 10:43. Makes sense, doesn't it? But that verse says this, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be great among you, whoever is going to be great in the kingdom of God, it's not name recognition, it's not any of those things, it's the greatest is the servant of all. That was the theme that ran through Jesus' life. It ran through His ministry. He showed it. And in the book of John, I believe John shows us in a very real sense, and I want to give us a string of verses of Scripture that I think will begin to reinforce that very thing. And I think it will help us to understand maybe, just maybe, why John recorded this particular interaction, Jesus' words on the cross. John's gospel is one that shows us what of those of Jesus' teachings, those things that were important to Him. And when you come to John chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, it's coming to the very end of Jesus' life. We know that is the upper room experience, most of that, and He is teaching specifically to His disciples. And most of us remember those different situations and stories there, but let me just walk through them one by one and begin to make the point, I think, of why this phrase that Jesus used, these words He used on the cross, were so important. When Jesus came and they were in the upper room, we know it as the Last Supper. If you turn to John chapter 13, verse 14, these are the words that you find. And John records them. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. He begins to talk to them, and He knows that it's not long and He will be gone. It won't be long and He'll be crucified. It won't be long and He'll be back in heaven. So He's reinforcing some principles and values that were of utmost importance to Jesus in His life. We know the story at the Last Supper. They were there and Jesus took His outer garment off and He got a basin of water and He got a towel and He went around to each of the disciples and He washed their feet. Why? He was literally showing them by example, this is what is important. This is what is to be valued in the kingdom of God. What is that? Service. Serving. Giving. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? You'll be the servant in the kingdom of God. And so He says, I'm giving you an example, this that you should wash one another's feet. It's not in the kingdom of God, it's not I deserve this or look what I have done. In the kingdom of God, it's not inward focused. In the kingdom of God, it's outward focused. In the kingdom of God, it is service oriented. In the kingdom of God is we're thinking of others, we're not thinking of ourselves. That's the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we're loving others. In the kingdom of God, we are caring for one another. Isn't that what the kingdom of God is about? Isn't that what it means to be a Christian? It's not about me, it's about those and how can I meet those needs. That seems to be what's the important thing that comes through in John's gospel. In John's gospel, it records more than just here in chapter 13. In chapter 13, he talks about his betrayal. He talks about the fact that Peter would deny him. And in those verses, Jesus tells his disciples that he won't be with them much longer. And he begins to have this conversation with them. He talks about them. He says, you need to do this in chapter 13, verse 14. You also should wash one another's feet. You also should serve one another. He goes on in chapter 13. You get down towards the end of chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. Jesus says this to His disciples in the same setting. He says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So Jesus continues this theme of loving one another, of caring for one another, of serving one another. That's the theme that we see. That's the point that Jesus was, one of the points that Jesus was stressing there at the Last Supper in those very things. Chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. We know that passage of Scripture. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then we come to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, Jesus talks about it's the vine and the branches. Chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you jump down to verse 10 of chapter 15, we see these words. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Give him this command to love one another. And Jesus said, no, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. What is that attitude? What is that value? It's the value of loving others, thinking of others, not thinking about yourself, thinking of others. That's the kingdom of God. Verse 17 of chapter 15, this is my command, love each other. Do you see the theme, the message, the priority of the kingdom? Those who are a part of the kingdom of God are those people who love. Those are the ones that love one another. Do you know how people know that we are Christians? They know it by our love for one another. Take a moment right now, turn to the person beside you and tell them, God loves you. Do it right now. Now, I want you to say this as well. This may be a little harder depending on who you're, if you're sitting by a brother or something, this may be a little harder. God loves you and I love you. Go say that now. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that of service, of love, of care, of watching out for one another, not just for ourselves. Even after Jesus' death and his resurrection, in John chapter 21, I don't have this for the screen, I don't think, but verses 15 to 17, you all will remember it. They have just eaten breakfast. Jesus has come among his disciples, and he talks specifically to Peter. He talks specifically to him, and you will remember it. He says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, what's interesting is the second time. We know that he says it three times. The second time, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep. John, in the writing of the gospel, one of the themes that John talks about is that of love and service and care and concern. These are values that are a part of the kingdom of God. These are the values that are so important. Now, why am I sharing all these verses with us? Let's stop for just a moment. Let's look back at Jesus on the cross. In the final hours of Jesus' life on earth, what is it that Jesus is doing? What is it that he is saying? Woman, here is your son. And then he turns to John, the disciple whom he loved, And he says to John, "Here is your mother." Now, what does the rest of the verse say? We've already said it, but let me say it again. Here's what it says. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. What do we conclude from these words from Jesus from the cross? With all the energy that he could muster to be able to speak, and he spoke these words to his mother, and he spoke these words to John. Once again, in the final moments of Jesus' life, while he was on the cross, while he was in agony, while he was suffering, while he was bleeding, while his life was ebbing away, he was sharing values that were the values that he had taught about. Values that were his values in his life that he had lived. And even in those last moments, in those last moments of Jesus' life, he was making those final arrangements for his family, for his mother. I'm going to ask the praise team, if they would, to head back to the platform. In the final moments of Jesus' life, he was making final arrangements for his family, for his mom. When we come to the end of our lives, we don't think about trivial things. We don't think about certain circumstances in our lives. We don't think about guys, and maybe some gals here this morning. I wish I would have picked Middle Tennessee State instead of Michigan State. If I would have only known. I was going to pick Gonzaga. I almost picked Hawaii. Why didn't I? No, we're not going to be thinking about those things at the end of our life. They seem to be kind of important. Now we've got them hung up out on Pastor Phillips' door. You can just kind of keep score on how us and the staff are doing this year. I'm kind of going down in flames at the moment. It's not those trivial things of life. Listen, they seem like, you know, some of the things that we struggle with now, they seem like they're so important. But when you boil it down, folks, when you boil down what are the most important things in life, it's our relationship with Him. It's our relationship with one another. All the rest of it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's all going to burn away. Only what we do for Christ is going to last. All men will know if you are my disciples if you love one another. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you obey my command. You are my friends if you obey what I command, he said. And then, what was that command? This is my command. Love each other. What was Jesus doing on the cross with this third saying? He was dying as he had lived, loving, caring, concerned about others. Oh God, oh God, help us to be like that. Help us not to be hung up with the things that we get hung up on. Help us not to trip over things that don't need to be tripped over. Serving one another. Loving one another. These are the values of the kingdom. These are the values that Jesus shared even while dying on the cross with his mother and with his disciple. Let's stand for a closing prayer together. We're going to sing together before that. and the great into the small. And those are the things, those are the values, those are the things that last. Everything else is of less importance than that. So let's care for one another. Let's love one another. Let's follow the command that He has given us. Love each other through this Easter season. Let it be a special, special time for each and every one of us this Holy Week. Let's close with a prayer. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you for these significant words that you shared in the very last moments of your life, words that are even speaking to us even today. Help us, Lord, to live as you have lived, and even in dying, to have the same values that you had, O Lord, we pray. As we leave this place today, let us leave with a sense of the love of Christ, a sense of love for one another, and a sense of gratitude for what you have done. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.